Luke chapter 8. I have an organized sermon for this, but really I want to just kind of walk through this, because this passage of Scripture is pretty awesome. Jesus paints out a picture. When we think of the mission field, when we think of different fields and different places, whether it be in Oklahoma or whether it be in Colorado or whether it be in Louisiana, we have different pictures in our mind of what a mission field should look like. And what I want you to do real quick for me, Pastor Isaac asked you to do something a while ago. I asked you all to look around. I want you to look around your mind for a moment. And I want you to get the picture in your mind of somebody that you think would be very difficult to share the gospel with. Somebody that you think would be like, I don't know if that person would really fit in at our church. Get that picture in your mind. And make it as graphic as you can. Because we're going to look at something tonight that is pretty amazing. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, we're going to start there and we're going to skip down to verse 26 in a moment. In verse 22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us go over the other side of the lake,' and they launched forth." Now Jesus there... We can get distracted with the storm that comes and the raging waves, and we can get focused on that. And that's pretty awesome stuff. But right there in that verse, Jesus says, "Hey guys, let's go on a mission trip." That's what he did. Jesus said, "We're going to go on a mission trip. I'm going to take my disciples with me. We're going to load up in this boat, and we're going to go to the other side, and we're going to go on a mission trip. We're going to go share the gospel with some people who haven't heard it yet." That's pretty exciting, right? I mean, going on a mission trip. I was a youth pastor before I went to Colorado, and I love taking my youth and going on these mission trips and roll up at different places, whether it be North Carolina or Texas or Indiana or wherever. And I organize, once a year, I organize a huge mission trip for a lot of different churches, and we call it Impact. And it's exciting to bring all these people to this field and say, "Hey, we're going to go a mission trip." And that's exciting. And so Jesus gets his small group. And he says, "Guys, we're going to get in the boat, and we're going to go over here, and we're going to go on a mission trip." All right, so some things happen along the way. And we're going to skip that because that's not really what we're focusing on. So they're going on a mission trip. Verse 26, this is the other side. So they get to the mission field. "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, saying, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and then brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." Now let's get a picture of this man. Now stay with me on this. So Jesus decides, "We're going on a mission trip. Come on guys, load up in a boat, we're going on a mission trip." They all get in the boat, they go to the other side, through the storm and all that stuff, and they get there, and they're all excited, and they get out of the boat, "We're on a mission trip. We're going into this mission field. We're going to go share the gospel." And who was the first person they met? Who was the first person they met? They roll up on this mission field and they get this guy here, this Gadarene maniac, this lunatic, this guy that goes by the name Legion, that had been locked up in with chains that he would break, that it couldn't hold him. He was completely out of his mind. He ran around with no clothes on. He was absolutely insane. You know, perfect missionary Baptist. Right? Exactly who we're after, right? I don't know about you, but it aggravates me. I've seen missionaries, I've seen pastors talk about, "Well, go to this city, there's plenty of missionary Baptists there." Folks, I'm not fishing for missionary Baptists. If missionary Baptists want to get on the shore with me and help fish for lost people, then great. Okay? But we need to be fishing for lost people that we can train and disciple and turn into missionary Baptists. But I'm not fishing for them. They shouldn't be in the pond. They should be on the shore fishing back, if you follow me with that. Okay? And so if they want to come alongside, that's great. That's wonderful. Jesus didn't go to the Gadareans because there was missionary Baptists there. He went there because they need to hear the gospel. And this first guy they meet, he's not what we would say, man, I want to invite this guy to my church. Many of us probably wouldn't do that. We look at that guy and say, oh, this is horrible. This is bad. He needs to put some clothes on. And we cast stones at him, basically. Maybe not literally, but in our mind. Folks, listen, but for the grace of God, so go I. If it wasn't for God, I don't know what I would be. If it wasn't for God, I don't know what condition I would be in. But not for the grace of God, so go I. Our Lord and our Savior looks past our past. He looks over our present, and He sees the condition of our future. Look, our past may be different, whether it was drug abuse or demon possession or a crazy lunatic or whatever it may be. Our present may be different, but our future is only one of two places. It's either heaven or hell. And we need to begin looking at people saying, is this person going to heaven or hell? And I look at their appearance but say, I care about your soul of where you're going to spend eternity. And this maniac needed Jesus. Now, how would we respond? How would we respond if we rolled up on a mission trip? Pastor Isaac said, come on, Calvary, we're going on a mission trip. And you load up in the vans and you load up in the cars and you get there and the first person you meet is this crazy guy who's wearing no clothes, who's breaking every chains, and he's just out of his mind. How would we respond? We'd probably say, let's go back to Oklahoma. Right? This isn't for us. This isn't where we need to be. This is different. This isn't what we're used to. Folks, I live in a state that in many ways does not represent God's Word. We have legalized things. We have voted things in. Today I heard that we voted in and openly practicing. I'll let you fill in the blank with all the kids here. My wife called me. She said, did you know that? I said, no, it wasn't open in Colorado. We didn't vote for him. We live in a state that does not represent God's Word. But we live in a state that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus pulls up on this mission trip, and the first person he meets. Now, I want you to see how Jesus responds. So this guy is demon-possessed. He has devils long time. He's breaking chains. He's wearing no clothes. He doesn't have a place to live. He's been living in the tombs. He's been sleeping in the cemetery. In verse 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? Do you see that? Do you see that? Verse 30, you got this guy that's completely out of his mind, that's completely crazy, that just had, you know, it's just like he's just a lunatic. He's just completely insane. And Jesus says, what's your name? Yeah, I picked you out. What's your name? Jesus didn't run for cover. He didn't say, oh, guys, get back in the boat. This mission trip's going like I didn't plan. It's going in a direction I didn't want it to go in. Jesus didn't say that. He said, he walks up to this guy and he says, hey, what's your name? He looks past all that stuff. He looks past all the cover. He looks past all the things that are being manifested publicly that are out there that are hideous for us to deal with. He looks past all that and says, what's your name? Now, Jesus knew his name. So it's more than just knowing his name. He's basically saying, hey, I want to know you. I want to meet you. I want to walk across the street and introduce myself to you, and I want to know you. We have a difficult time sharing the gospel with somebody who's wearing a different school colors than we want to. We're here in the middle of, I didn't realize I was driving in this week to Oklahoma in the middle of Bedlam, right? And we got all these rivalries. And like, I don't care for Oklahoma State. I don't care for Oklahoma. Whatever. Yeah, I got my sports teams too. I would still witness to somebody from Alabama. Okay? I wouldn't root for their team, but I would still witness to them. They need Jesus, right? Absolutely, people from Alabama need Jesus. No. Jesus looks past all that and says, what's your name? Can I get to meet you? Can I talk to you for a second? Can I introduce myself to you? Verse 31, we'll start there. It says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go in, out into the deep. And we get this whole issue about the pigs. This story is not about the pigs, okay? They're just there in the middle, okay? Look, I need to say it this way. You're in Oklahoma, right? Right next door. This story is not about the hogs, okay? It's about the man that needs to know about Jesus, okay? And so Jesus cast them out, and he cast out the demons, and he heals the man. And verse 35, we'll jump down there. It says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, this is Legion, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So the whole city comes out to see what's going on because they all knew about this man, Legion. He was the talk of the town. Everybody knew who Legion was. In my small hometown, Bogalusa, everybody knows who Scary Barry is. I'm not making that up, okay? There's a guy in town named Scary Barry that's a lot like Legion, and everybody knows that. So they all came out to see what's going on. They come out, and they find what? They find Legion sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's worshiping him. He's in his right mind. And what is he doing? He's having church. He's worshiping the Lord. Now, Jesus did something that I can't do. He healed that man. And there's people that I'm going to come in contact with that I can't fix, but Jesus can. Okay? They don't need Everett. And quite often, God shows me that God doesn't even need Everett. He just chooses to work through me sometimes. Just be my mouthpiece. Leave the results up to me. And so I begin to talk and I begin to share the gospel. I begin to tell people and Jesus steps in. It's amazing. I got to just share this. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. You're witnessing to somebody. I'm sure Pastor Isaac has had this experience. You're witnessing to somebody. You open up your mouth. You begin to share the gospel with them. You begin to tell them about Jesus. And it's almost like Jesus begins, after you start, he almost begins to push you out of the way and says, let me take over. I still need your mouth, but let me take over. And God begins to put words in our mouth that we didn't know we even knew. Now, that sounds strange. And if you've never shared the gospel with somebody, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's almost like God steps in. So Jesus stepped in. He said, what's your name? He meets Legion. Legion gets healed. He gets saved. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's worshiping God. Now you would think everybody in that community is so excited, right? Man, they are fired up. Man, the whole city is like, praise God, Jesus finally came. Things are getting right. We're on fire. We're going forward. But look, at the end of verse 35, it says, and they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought Jesus to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. So Jesus goes on a mission trip. And the first challenge he meets is Legion, which would have ran most of us off. And Jesus deals with that, cares for him, shows compassion. Man gets saved. And so you're thinking, man, things are about to happen on this mission field. That whole city's about to come to Jesus because the toughest one just got saved. But instead, the whole city comes out to Jesus and says, "You got to leave. We don't want you here." I don't know about you, but if the entire mission field wanted to run me off, I'd be like, call my pastor saying, "I don't know what I did wrong. They hate me." I'd be all upset. Jesus, it says, and he got into the ship and returned back again. He's like, "Okay, bye. See ya. Peace. I'm out of here." And he gets ready to leave. Now, here's some things that really make you scratch your head. After this, Jesus gets in the boat. He's ready to leave. And Legion comes running up. Verse 38. It says that, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Jesus that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away." So Legion says, "Wait a minute, Jesus, I want to go with you." Now all throughout the Bible we find what? Jesus says, "Take up that cross and follow me. Take up that cross and follow me." And here, Legion's like, "I want to take up my cross. I want to follow you. I want to go where you're at." And Jesus says, "No. No." Verse 39 says, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." Legion, whatever his name is now, we're just going to call him Legion. Legion, I don't need you to go with me. Legion, I need you to stay here and work the mission field. I need you to stay here with your family and your friends and your people, and I need you to tell them what God has done for you. I need you to stay here, and I need you to brag on me. I need you to stay here. I need you to have compassion on the people that you come in contact with. I need you to stay here, and I need you to share with people about me. Now, in verse 40, I connect verse 40 with this story. Some people don't. But verse 40 says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned," and I think that's when he returned to the Gadareans, "the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." Mark also gives some evidence to this too, that I believe that Jesus left Legion there and said, "You tell people about me. They won't listen to me, but you tell people about me. They won't believe me, but they'll believe you. You tell people about me. I'm leaving." And Jesus got in a boat and left. And then later he comes back. And when he comes back, the entire city of the Gadareans was all waiting for him and ready to hear from him and ready to understand what had happened to Legion and how they can have that same thing in their lives. Now, I want you to get how this applies to you. I don't have a glamorous testimony of salvation. I grew up in a missionary Baptist church. I went to church camp, and the Lord was dealing with me about my salvation. And I got saved and got baptized and followed the Lord. I didn't come out of drug abuse. I didn't go to prison. I didn't come out of alcoholism. I didn't have those things. My testimony is my testimony. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at 14, was baptized, and continued following the Lord. And I messed up along the way, and I haven't done things perfect. But I'm nothing without Jesus Christ. I'm absolutely nothing. Now, regardless of your past and regardless of your present, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, I don't know about you, but I love it when we worship. I love to sing songs by standing on His promises. And I love to sing songs about how great God is. And I love to hear great preaching. And I love to say, yes, Lord, praise the Lord. I love to get up and read my Bible in the morning and have my prayer time with Jesus and spend time with Him. Like, Lord, just take me out. Lord, I believe we're getting close to the time of His return. But I'm like, take me out. Take me home. Let me go. I'm ready. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you're saved, you are saved for a purpose. And there's a reason He doesn't just pluck us up and take us out. Because He wants us to stay here and tell people how He changed our life. He wants us to stay here and talk about Him. He wants us to stay here and share the good news with people of Muldrow, people of Oklahoma, people of Louisiana, people of Colorado, people wherever so ever we go. He wants us to stay here. Man, I want to go and be with Jesus. I want to be like the Legion here and say, Jesus, I want to follow You. Take me to heaven with You. Let me spend time with You 24/7. But Jesus left me here with a purpose. And get this. There will be a time that He comes back. And when He comes back, will He find the people I've been in contact with waiting for Him, ready to talk with Him, ready to worship Him, ready to be there? Or is it just going to be me? You see, He's left you here for a purpose. That purpose is to show how great things God hath done unto thee. Legion shared the gospel. And people were waiting for Jesus and gladly received Him when He came. You have a mission field. Right here. Right here in Oklahoma. You have people all around you that desperately need to hear the gospel. And they may not realize it. And you may be the only missionary they ever come in contact with. Take that gospel to them. People don't need a Republican. People don't need a Democrat. People need Jesus. Let us take Jesus to them. Pastor.
Stand together. Musicians come.